Oh, it's true.
Found it on the floor.
Shut up!
We're back. We're talking about coffee careers with Sam Brown, our lead barista, Christian Ott, our director of coffee, and I'm Drew, the director of teams at Stone Creek Coffee. We've gotten to the point where we're all baristas. We've all got our feet wet in the coffee industry. But for many people, that's not the end game. We've got aspirations that are higher, and we're hoping for sort of a lucky break, or we're pushing for something a little bit deeper in the coffee industry. And for each of us, that looked a little bit different. All right, Sam, let's jump back to you. So you're a barista now.
Yeah, I'm
you
a
just
barista.
Got done making sandwiches.
Yeah.
So what's your next step, man? Like,
so from there, I was, you know, it's that thing where are you just sustaining, or are you gonna like thrive and like want to like move up and like, you know, I think that's part of the beauty of working in coffee is it's always changing. There's always something new. There's always something you can try different. There's always an exception to a rule. It's one of the things that I really like. See, I'm a barista, still working down at the lake. I had a lot of fun working there because of the people I worked with. Barista there for way too long, man. So I think it was a good 4 or 5 years. I had moved from the lakefront location to their old headquarters to the actual headquarters. I went from Lakefront to Prospect. Prospect to Humble Cafe. Okay. And from there, that's where I really actually like started to see where I might be able to fit, seeing that I want to do this. Like, this is what I want to do. I want to show people how to make coffee. I want to talk about coffee. Like, I really, really like it. And it's pure happenstance. I just moved to Milwaukee because I wanted to be a DJ. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And, like, I still do that. But it's more of a hobby. It's a fun release. But it wasn't until I moved to the Humble Cafe that I started to realize, like, I could be in coffee for the rest of my life. Like, this is a chosen career path, and I love it. Like, I really dug into it, and then, you know, it's just keep asking questions. Like, hey, what can I do? What can I do? Can I cup coffees with you guys? Can I cup coffees with you guys? What are you guys roasting? Can I, you know, like, how do we make the cafe better? How do we serve better coffee? And bothering all those people, yeah, they are a little annoyed, but it was still like, okay, this guy wants to do
stuff. He actually cares.
Yeah.
Which is a thing. You should probably care if you want to make a living in coffee.
So from there, I was part of the inception of their Altair at the Times, the inception of their like quality control in-store trainers, which they call lightning rods. Mm. I was the first one, like, I think one of four. And that was kind of, it was cool to be a part of that because it was like, why, you know, we got asked a lot of questions like, why should they care? Like, why should they pay us more? Like, what are we going to provide to the cafe or the company? Why should we pay you more to do what's already being done? Like, what service do you provide? And it was cool. We worked with the director of coffee there for a while, who was George, and we drafted a whole like list of things we would do and turn it into a pretty cool program. Great experience doing that, but at the same time, you know, it's like after so long, you get antsy again. You want to do more, like they keep adding more and more people to this group. Cool, cool, that's great. Glad people are doing better, but you can only have so many barista trainers for a company. And after, you know, I got passed up for three jobs, one being like barista trainer, one being, the assistant to the coffee buyer. There's one more. I can't think of it. Not really important at this point, but it made me realize like maybe I need to go somewhere else. And that took me to California. I got a job working for Equator Coffee and Tea in San Rafael, California, and they helped me get out there. They saw me compete. I have lots of BGA certifications, which we haven't really talked too much about that. I should talk about that, huh?
Rewind.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that later. So I have third-party certifications stating that I know what I'm doing, in a nutshell. So they hired me to help them with their training and open some retail locations. I soon came to realize that I like my family a lot. I like the community that Milwaukee offers. And after about a year there, I said, you know what? I miss Milwaukee. I miss my family.
Milwaukee's a lot cheaper, too.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It is way cheaper. So now I'm back here. My sister-in-law does all the accounting for Stone Creek. And she said there Stone Creek was looking to expand their education program. And I said, that can be me. I can do that. I can help with that. And I came in for an interview, and it was really intimidating because it was like three people like grilling me about one of them was Christian, who I really didn't know that well.
That was like the week after you took over director of coffee.
I don't know. That was before.
Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah. It was before. It was around the same time. Because I was still doing... I was still doing barista trainer stuff at the time, and I think this Steve was just transitioning out because you came here.
It's February of 3 years ago. What is that?
2013.
Yeah,
2013. So maybe it was just after. It was just after.
Yeah, because I never worked with Steve.
Huh.
So I.
Wow, time flies, man.
Dude, I know.
Yeah, but I had. Speaking of third-party certifications, I'd run into Sam at Barista Camp.
That's where we can connect.
Yeah, totally. Oh,
man.
And I'm like, man, this guy's like really into it. I think you were working on your level two stuff. And I was like, man, we got to hire him. We got to bring him in. And the staff at the time was like, oh, we don't know if we want to bring in someone externally. Like, I know you don't like that, but this guy's different. Like, bring him in. And I think Rachel was saying, like, no, trust this guy's cool. And
that was
a pretty intense
no it
process
was
too
who like, else was in the interview
Kendra was there, but I had run into her too because she was at Barista Camp with Christian, so we had like a rapport, but it was still intense. I was I was sweating, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, it's like I just moved back, I was living with Rachel and her my brother-in-law Jack, and I didn't have a job. My wife found a tutoring job right away, and I was like, oh man, I need to get a job so we can get out of their house. Like, you know, great to have family support you, but after so long you feel like a bum. You can only do their dishes and like clean their bathroom so many times before like you feel like a burden. But regardless, I was sweating, and it was like, okay, we're gonna give you a job, but first you gotta work in the cafe for a while, and then we'll figure out what to do with you if you can. You can stand Ellen telling you to do everything. Ellen was the cafe manager at the time.
Who's our office manager now?
Yeah, which was great. She was no bullshit. She was like, "No, you got to do it this way." And I was like, "But I should." Okay, I'll just do what you say. You're good. That's fine. But after a couple of months, and I got in the flow, and you know, I think people who might have not wanted to hire someone externally saw that I have somewhat of a skill and know what I'm doing a little bit. And then I'm sure a little bit of CO's good input. Christian and I were building classes to teach. It started with the baseline of 100 level classes. For those of you listening who don't know the jargon we're speaking, 100 level is basic. You need to know how to. You need to show us how to operate an espresso machine. You need to know how to brew coffee appropriately. You need to know where it comes from. And Christian and I built all that out. Jamie and I taught it, and then we were like, "Well, we need another level because we need these classes. We need these people to be better, or these baristas to be better at their job. So, how do we do that? What do we show them?" And that's where latte art comes in. That's where single origin espresso dialing in comes in. That's where dial in your brew, like changing up brew methods comes in. That's where palate building comes in. The list goes on and on.
Yeah. And I think as we can sort of look back over your story of how you got here, because I mean, even your role here has evolved from being a, you know, prevalent barista to a barista trainer, 100 level, 200 level, and now you more or less build out all of the curriculum. I mean, we have an education director, but in terms of our sort of barista education, you control that, and it's because you've shown that you have that talent level through just your willingness to pick things up. And that's one thing I've noticed is there are people who say whose first response is normally an excuse, like I can't, or well, maybe, but here's all the things. Whereas Sam's response is always like, sure, yeah, I can figure it out.
We can figure it out. Let's just do it.
Yeah, like, YOLO.
I will say one last thing about education, and then we can stop talking about. But I get a lot of that from my parents. My whole family is teachers, and it's really in my blood. My dad, my stepmom, my mom, my older sister, my wife. They're all teachers, and I grew up in a school, so that like willingness to share knowledge and try to like grow that and have an open mind about different ideas is really where I get that from. And I think that has only helped me exponentially become a trainer, like a great trainer.
CO, you're a barista at Stone Creek. Your lead staff is what you said. And lead staff, for all intents and purposes, was an assistant manager who didn't get paid for it.
It was kind of like a lower-level assistant manager slash a barista plus. We placed orders, and I placed orders for way too much stuff. Our basement was full.
And that basement.
That's massive. Basement, man.
The manager at the time said, fill it up. I'm like, okay, let's fill it up. And then I became manager. I'm like,
empty it up. Lead staff, empty this out.
exactly. So I was a barista and lead staff, and I'm reflecting what Sam said. Like, his entire family is teachers, and kind of along that lines, I was a Montessori kid, being very early, like kindergarten, first grade-ish. I was Montessori. In Montessori, what you do is you figure out things in your own kind of space, in your own kind of way. So if you want to do math, you can do math. If you want to do science today, you can do science. And that's kind of stuck with me all the way through school, and I've always been like, okay, I'll just go dive deep on this one thing. And that was one thing that I was able to do as a barista, is like, okay, I'm going to figure out how to pull shots better. And I would just sit and focus on it. And I'd be like, hey, guys, here's how you pull shots better. Oh, let me teach you. Okay, you don't want to do this today? Okay, let's try again tomorrow. You can pull shots better this way. Hey, you can steam milk better this way. I didn't really have a mentor to teach me how to do a lot of this stuff. It was me kind of doing it, honestly, on closing shifts. Illegally behind other people's backs. I remember one time specifically when I started to pour lots here at Freeform, I was starting to do little hearts, and we had these massive pitchers at the time. And,
64
ounce. But I was able to pour hearts Freeform, and I was like, hey, this is really cool. Hey, check it out. And then the barista trainer came in, and I'm like, okay, got a spoon foam. And she left, and I'm like, okay, y'all are all good now. I'm going to start Freeforming again. But it was just a lot of my own drive to want to know how to do coffee better. And I was one of those weird guys that go on like coffee forums. And I'm trying to remember, is it Barista Exchange? Was the Barista
yep.
forum that doesn't really exist anymore?
Well, there was, what was the other one? It was like Coffeed? It was like
Coffeed?
A
yeah.
Coffeed.
Oh, yeah. Coffeed?
Yeah.
Some really good articles in Coffeed.
Yeah, it was like a forum that, and that's how the Barista Guild of America started, was Coffeed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt your story.
No worries. But I was just going on there. I was like, okay, so how can I make coffee better? How can I figure things out? And I would occasionally go into Colectivo or Altera at the time, and like I get a shot, and I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. And there's just such a massive space. I couldn't really relate to it. And it wasn't until I can't remember if I went down for like a trip or whatnot. It took me to Chicago, but I went to an Intelligentsia for the first time. And I had coffee there, and I'm like, wait a second. This entire space is focused on the coffee product. It's not focused on the barista. It's not really focused on like the customer space, although there's a lot of space for customers. And I had to wait 20 minutes to get my drink. With like, what's making this coffee so special? And you get it. You get the pour over, and it's just amazing. And I took that spirit back, and I'm like, man, we got to make our coffee like this. And I was lucky enough around the same time to become the manager at Bayview. And I took a lot of that spirit, and they're like, okay, we're going to focus on coffee, and we're going to focus on selling coffee. And I wasn't the best at a lot of things, but the one thing that I did and one thing I really infused my staff with was coffee love, coffee passion. And the areas that I was weak in, sometimes it was customer service, although I really, really trained myself to be better at customer service. I was one of those introverts that Drew was talking about before, but I taught myself how to be good at customer service. I gave myself a routine to really work with customers with.
But script.
A script, exactly. And when I was the manager for the longest time, I was working on the espresso bar. Because, like, no, I'm going to pull the shots. I'm going to steam the milk because I know that I can make the best drinks for my customers. And that was okay for about a year, year and a half. And then eventually there's a regime shift. And eventually there became this dissonance inside myself. Like, man, I really love coffee. I really don't like managing a cafe. I love coffee. I don't like managing a cafe. And so Stone Creek eventually made a position for me. Was kind of cool. I was the brew methods trainer. I worked like 15 hours a week, and then I became like the first traveling barista between different cafes. So I stopped working at Bayview, transitioned out of the manager role, went to Wauwatosa. I worked at Whitefish Bay. I worked at Shorewood. And for that short period, I was a brew methods trainer. So I got the opportunity to really teach and dive into brew methods, because at the time we didn't have anything except for the FETCOs. And actually, we started without the FETCOs. We had something else. We had Grindmasters before that, and they were just awful.
I bet they were.
I was going to ask about when you were dialing in shots or making espresso taste better. That was with a Swift grinder, right?
It was. And I was the crazy guy that's like, hey, it's slow. And the facilities guy, Jason, he's our project manager now, was coming to the cafe on a regular basis like, hey, Jason, how do you adjust this? And I was always going and adjusting things when I wasn't supposed to. So, like, let's make sure that I brought in a scale. Like, let's make sure the dose is actually the same weight. Let's make sure the dose is the same weight. Let's make sure the dose of water out is the same weight. Oh, that doesn't work. Let's start pulling it manually. And let me show you guys how to pull it manually. I got in so much trouble for doing this, guys. I did. But then I just kind of waited a little bit and, like, okay, let's come back around and let's fix this. Let's fix this. Were you part of the fix? We were still doing volumetric when you came here?
Some baristas were still doing volumetric. For those of you who don't know what that means, if you look at our espresso bars, there are three little buttons above each group head or porter filter where they extract espresso. One is a tiny little cup, half full. The next one over is the same cup, completely full. And then the swirly button.
The swirly button.
The swirly button is where it's at. And what the original concept for those buttons are is single shot, double shot. Continual brew is the technical term for the swirly button, but nobody calls it that. And Christian's referring to baristas just hitting the double shot button and hoping that the machine spits out 2 ounces of water, or 60 milliliters for those of you who use metric. And now all of our baristas do it manually, so they decide when to stop the shot, not the machine.
Which is important.
Very important.
If you're trying to maintain quality. The upside to the old way, where everything is sort of prefab with automatic tamping and dosing and pulling, that Stone Creek, the way Stone Creek used to do it, is that it all kind of comes out the same. The downside is all of the same is crap. And so it's all the same, but it's not very good. The upside to sort of the barista-controlled way is that the barista is responsible for what they are giving to the customer, so quality can be traced back to the efforts of that particular barista.
All right, so I'm brew methods trainer, and we can go back a little bit, and I hired someone at my cafe who was actually another lightning rod at Altera at the time. And he just knew way more about coffee than I did.
Who was that?
Adam. Adam Stark.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome guy. Okay, yeah. Awesome guy. He spoke well of you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to hire this dude because he knows more than me. And I'm going to sponge up everything. I'm just going to absorb everything that I can off of him, and I'll be better than him someday. Yeah. But what happened is I just got sick of being a manager. And I'm like, Adam, you be barista trainer. And then I got to be brew methods trainer. And then about 3 or 4 months went by, and he went to go chase his passion, which is dancing. And then all of a sudden, we needed a barista trainer. So I'm like, okay, cool, I guess I'll do that for a while. And I did that for about a year and a half, and I just kind of really, really built out this program. I had the opportunity to work with Sam eventually and Jamie, our last barista trainer. And then it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, somewhere around there, we had a change of staffing in our director of coffee role. And I was just really into it. I got a chance to do barista camp a second time. I was already level one certified the first time I met Sam, or I got my level one certification. I was all excited to go get level two certified. And then the owner of Stone Creek, Eric, pulls me aside and he's like, Christian, I don't want to send you to barista camp. I'm like, what did I do? I'm working hard. I really care. And he's got me all nervous, and I'm sure he could tell at the time, too.
I bet he was having a bummer.
And he's like, I don't want to send you to barista camp. I want to send you to Q class. And I want you to consider to be the interim director of coffee. I'm like, cool.
Okay.
And yeah. The director of coffee role is something that everyone wants to do in the
coffee.
That is
the dream job. So I host the interviews. And every single person was like, I want to get involved in, like, green coffee sourcing and traveling and working with farms. I'm like, get in line. The line's, like, 100 people long, but just get in it.
That's fine. I'm not in that line, so you guys have fun with
that. One less.
Yeah, dude.
And so, terrified, I went out to Minneapolis, and I did Q with about 1 week's worth of prep for director of coffee stuff. I passed Q on the first try, which is a pretty rare occurrence. It is a really rare occurrence.
It is.
I think 3 out of 10 passed our class, and it's pretty uncommon to have 3 people pass in one class first try. Yeah. It was really rare that I passed the first time.
Cool.
And so I got certified, and I'm just like, okay, let's do this. And I've been in this role ever since, and slowly working different duties out of my role. And it's probably been the best thing about building a culture that is really, really great. And Drew's part of building the team culture here is eventually you can start getting out of stuff. Because when I was director of coffee, I was still director of education. I had all this other stuff going on.
It was hilarious.
I was a barista trainer, too.
Oh, my goodness. When I came into my role, which was after you stopped actually doing training, like, Christian was doing everything. Literally, he was on the teams and path team, which wasn't a thing back then. But he was, like, talking about, like, who was in our company and what they should be doing. And I'm like, you're supposed to be worrying about coffee. Like, what are you doing in this meeting? But it was just sort of the nature of where we were as a company. And as a talented person, Christian was sort of called on a lot to use that talent. But how many hours a week did you work? When I started in my role, you worked a butt ton.
50 to 60 a week.
Yeah, you were
at
here
at least 50.
All the time. To the point where I was like, dude, you need to go home. No, I mean, like, it's like I'm just getting coffee right now because I don't have any at home, but it's Saturday and you need to go home.
Uh-huh.
He's still here on Saturdays, though. I'm just...
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Only sometimes.
It's less regular.
Unless he's out of the country. Christian, I had minimal interactions as we were talking about barista camp, which is a great place to learn about this craft for those of you who... have some money to spend and are looking to learn some more. When I first came on, you know, like I said, there's that interview, Christian was there, the old retail director was there in that meeting, I think Eric was in that meeting, all these people like staring at me, asking me all these questions about what I know. But as Christian and I started working together, he and I think approach problems from two different points of view in a very positive way. It's just two different ways. Christian, you're very numbers driven, right?
I can be.
You can be. More so than I am.
Yeah. If I were to compare the two of you,
yeah,
Christian is far more analytical. For Sam, I'd say you're more feelings driven, but in a good way.
Yeah, I think what I've learned from Christian is to record numbers and to graph numbers and to be a little more analytical, and I mean that in like the most positive sense. It's not like this is how it goes, but to recognize patterns. But working with you, we've built a crazy awesome education program, more intense and better than any I've seen.
You can claim that.
Yeah.
I affirm it.
Oh yeah. And, that's you, man. Like, I came in and you were starting to drive the boat, and I just kind of was like, let's go that way.
It was pretty easy because you're like, let's do this thing. You're like, hey, yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
I think approaching from two different points of view and learning from each other and balancing how to best teach that and phrase that to new baristas or consumers who want to know more about coffee, I think that is an amazing thing that we've accomplished.
When I was cafe coach in Delafield, when I finally got on board with the company 2 years ago, these guys were already sort of reinventing the way we do coffee at Stone Creek, because historically it wasn't real good. That's kind of the fruit of their work and the work of our owners and many others as well. Kind of culminated in our Radio Milwaukee Cafe as a concept for what we wanted to be. And at the time, it was all manual brewing, mod bar, really cutting edge. And I walked into that cafe in November of 20, right after it opened, 2013?
14.
No. Because I joined the company in 2014. November of 2013, because it opened in October.
Okay.
Right after it opened.
Really?
It's been open for...
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yep, yeah. You're right. Wow. October 2013, that makes sense.
So right after it opened, I walked in there with my buddy, and I was just kind of blown away. It was the most unique coffee experience I ever had, and I had got the geisha from Herbazoo in Costa Rica. And it was amazing. Jamie was actually my barista. It was like 7 o'clock at night. The place was open till 9 back then, and we were the only ones in it. But it was amazing. And I said, dang, I want to work here. Like, this is where I want to work. So then 5 months later, I was able to join the company as a cafe coach and just really inspired about what was going on. And also super ambitious. Both these guys talked about like how they grew up. My dad was a fighter pilot, a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. He just really, he pushed us to kind of do things, like to not wait, just go do stuff. And so once I got on board, I just like pushed and pushed. I pushed my team, which I worked in Delafield, and then 2 months later, the Econimowoc cafe coach or cafe manager left. And so then I started managing two cafes. And back then, the West cafes were known as...
The Wild, Wild West.
The Wild West. I was there for 4 months, and I really pushed the team, like, hey, screw this, guys. Like, we're not going to be Starbucks anymore. Like, we're part of Stone Creek, and that's something bigger than just making coffee. That's making quality coffee. And so 2 months after I joined Delafield, I was like, shoot, I can manage two cafes. Why not? Little did I know that nobody else actually did that successfully, and I don't know if I would have done it successfully if I had to do it for longer than 2 months. But I managed two cafes for 2 months, and then our COO at the time left. And I was like, shoot, I can do that. And we restructured the company to be more flat and team-centric and empowering to our employees, which has been awesome. But out of that restructuring came the director of teams role, and I was really ballsy when actually I found out the COO was leaving. That same day, I was here at the factory, and Julia told me, like, I'm leaving. I'm like, okay. But then I went and found Eric, and I was like, hey, man, let's have a beer. Let's have a beer and talk about, like, my future at Stone Creek. And he's like, okay. Like, I think he was still recovering from Julia giving her notice that day. But I was like, let's talk about it. And he's like, well, give it a couple days. I'll open, you know, we'll figure it out, and you can apply for whatever. And so this position opened, and I applied for it, and got it, and it's been amazing. Like, I love the structure that Eric created, what he was going for in terms of team development. But really, it's just been about trying to carry the ball forward with all the work that Christian and Sam and Eric had done to put our company in a position to be successful. And I think really the sort of moral of all these stories is that in coffee, it's not about sort of the degree you have it's not about who you know. It's more about what you're willing to do. The people who have been successful in our company are just willing to pick things up and build success out of nothing, build a position out of nothing, create value where they're given an opportunity. And that's a really special quality. That's a really valuable quality that not everybody has. And you almost have to have that, actually, I think, to be successful in coffee in terms of just making a living, because there's not that many opportunities, right?
No. I can speak from experience. And just chiming in on off of what you're saying, Drew, the thing that I always think is you got to take pride in things you do. You take pride in your work. You know, you want to do it right the first time. Once again, getting back to my dad, I mowed the lawn once when I was a kid, and I mowed it the wrong way. Never got to mow it again after that. And ever since then, I've learned the lesson. You got to do it right the first time so dad doesn't have to come back and do it over for you, because he's going to be pissed. but getting away from that.
Good lesson to learn.
Yeah, a great lesson to learn. Taking pride in what you, taking pride in your work and liking what you do, and showing other people that you should do it the right way, the first time.
As we're talking about, like, those really, really cool, sexy coffee positions, like the barista trainers and the director of coffees in the world, there aren't very many of them. They're usually one per company, and they're usually someone who's been working their butt off for, you know, 10 years to get that role. So they're not easy to come by. However, if you're one of those people that's willing to work your butt off for 5 or 10 years and you get a couple of lucky breaks and you really invest everything into it, you will eventually find something. You will eventually find that role that you want to be, whether it's with the company you're with or it could be another company that sees more value in you. But if you really want to be that role, you have to put in time, you have to put in energy, and you have to really love what you're doing. And if you don't, there's lots of other career paths out there for you. But if you want to be a director of coffee or barista trainer, you're going to have to put in a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of passion before it actually manifests itself.
And I would push those of you who are interested in business, which my undergrad is in business, actually. I worked as a manager in training for Enterprise Rent-A-Car for the first year after I finished school, my undergrad. And I mean, it was kind of the worst, but that's what I studied, was management and business. And I tried to use that in coffee, and there's a lot of room for coffee companies to grow with people who have a mind for business and how to build a coffee company. A lot of people who come into coffee are in love with the product, which is fantastic. But if the end game for you is only the director of coffee or lead barista position, you got to beat people like Christian and Sam, and good luck with that.
Yeah, I carry a shank.
But there's a lot of opportunities for people who are really interested in business and sales and marketing and wholesale support and retail support and administration. Like, those opportunities are there, and you still get to work in the industry you love. Like, it's all about the product that you ultimately bring to market. It's just about understanding the way that you can play a role to in that circle, in that process, in that process.
The chain of coffee is...
The circle of coffee.
Yeah, I thought you were going to use milieu. A very fancy academic word.
That is a good word, but I forgot it.
I was going to say, to that point, Drew, you know, it's like I said earlier, you were saying that everyone wants to do Christian's job. And I will still, which is director of coffee, you get to travel the world, you get to see cool places, you get to taste great coffee, you get to taste bad coffee. but, like, recognizing where you best fit in that coffee chain is very advantageous. Like, I know I don't want to do Christian's job. I don't think I could do a good job at it. What I can do is I can show people how to brew coffee in a way that they'll enjoy it. And I can show people how to pour cool designs, or at least start them on that path. And that's what I want to do. And I know that. And knowing that helps a lot.
And also on the other end, like, I wouldn't want to... I've been to Origin with Christian.
Both of these guys have actually been traveling with me in Origin. So.
And I can't... Like, So I love it. Like, it's amazing. But I couldn't do it for a month on end like Christian does it. Like, it's a great experience to go out of the country and source coffee. But I don't have the stamina. And I have a family at home that I really miss. And it's hard for me to be gone for, like, a month. But what I love to do is to build a company and take that the product and all that passion of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people and bring that to customers, and that's what I get to do, and it's amazing. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Next time, we are talking about...
espresso.
Pro tips.
On how to...
Are we playing this game here? Yeah. Continue the... on how to brew...
quality...
espresso.
Yeah.
At home.
By yourself.
Okay, we're good. We're going to talk about brewing espresso at home and tips and tricks on how to do that better.
Is hard.
It is very hard, but very simple once you understand the concepts.
Control your variables.
Get good machine.
And if we feel really motivated and Drew decides to keep this in, we'll do a short video tutorial. And I'm interested in actually experimenting with Periscope, so maybe, just maybe, we'll do a live event sometime in the future.
Maybe for our year anniversary. Coming up.
Oh, sweet.
Pulling shots. We're geeks.
And we are talking coffee.